We cannot even begin to grasp the true meaning on God's scale of anything.
Part 3.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. And today is part 3 of a series called The Chef in the End. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. And focusing on that verse, declaring the end from the beginning. The chef in the end, and chef is the acronym of children, health, eternity, and finances. And today we're going to be talking about the most important one of those things. Children are important. And I talked about in part 1 how basically relationships and looking at who you will marry will determine what your children will be like. Who you'll marry will determine a whole bunch of stuff. So men looking at the woman, can this woman be a good mother to my child? And women looking at a man, can this man be a good father to my child? That one decision of looking at children in the end from the beginning will change your world. Health. We talked about there are 3 fundamental levels of health, just like there are 3 fundamental levels of everything. And the 3 levels are the messed up, the medicated, and the magnificent. And if you want to change your health from the messed up or the medicated, 2 out of 3 Americans are on 1 or more prescription drugs every day. If you want to change from the messed up to the medicated, you need to start seeing about your health now, so in the end and down the road, it will be excellent and magnificent. And today, we talk about the most important one, eternity. Most of us have a hard time grasping the true meaning of eternity. And let me give you some examples so that you will understand what I mean by man's finite mind and our difficulty of grasping infinite things. All of the Bronner brothers, we go on a brother's trip every year. And for this year, we've already gone on our trip. We went to Australia. Australia, I believe, was the longest flight time that I'd ever experienced. It took us about 25 hours to get to Australia because it's on the other side of the world. And the farthest you can go is about 12,500 miles before you start coming back. So that's roughly a 25-plus hour flight by the time you have a couple of stops to Australia. Long, long flight. 25 hours on a plane is a long, 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 long time. All of you can relate to that. All of you can understand how long 25 hours is to go 12,000 miles. That's in man's view. Now, if we walk outside of this church right now and look up in the sky, what will you see brightly shining? The sun. We depend upon the sun for light, for heat, to make the crops grow. Without it, we would die, and we'd be dead real quick. The sun is 93 million miles away. If we got on that same jet that we flew to Australia, and if the jet had enough fuel and enough air and could fly through space, if we got on that same jet and took a flight to the sun, the 25-hour trip that we took to Australia to go from Earth to the sun on that same jet at that same speed, instead of 25 hours, would take 21 years. But yet we walk outside and we'll feel the warmth of the sun at the speed of light. It takes the rays and the heat of the sun 8 minutes to get here. 8 minutes. Our jet takes 21 years. So the sun is 8 light minutes away. Yet the closest star, and if you go out at night, on a clear night, and look at the millions upon billions and trillions of stars that exist in the sky, The closest star, and each star is a sun. It's hard for us to imagine that because they're little pinpricks. It just twinkles in the night. But each one of those twinkles is a sun. And our sun is, in astronomical terms, a medium size. It's not even a big sun. So if you look at all of those uncountable stars in the sky that are suns, the closest. Now remember, it takes light 8 minutes to get from our sun to us. The closest star to the earth is Alpha Centauri. Alpha Centauri is 4.5 light years away. The closest star. Not the 8 minutes it takes, which would take our jet 21 years. The closest star is 4.5 light years away. Most of the stars that you see in the sky are millions of light years away. Light years. 21 years on a jet is 8 light minutes. So a light year compared to 8 minutes, we cannot conceive. So even just like distance, and yet God holds the world in the palm of his hand. For him, it's nothing to go across the universe. To us, people, we can't even conceive of a light year. And yet, the stars that we see are millions of light years away. It is beyond human comprehension. 24 hours in the air is a rough time for us. It is beyond human comprehension. So just as distance on God's scale is beyond our weak, finite minds to truly comprehend, so is time. And just as we cannot comprehend 4.5 light years away just to the nearest star, we cannot begin to grasp eternity. But I can tell you this, even though I cannot fathom, even though my mind cannot crunch the numbers, because how do you crunch infinity? Even though my mind cannot understand even 1,000 years, much less 10,000 years, even though I cannot grasp it, this one thing I do know. Eternity is a long time. That I do know. So I want us, first of all, to understand that we cannot even begin to grasp the true meaning on God's scale of anything. But yet, we know that it is a long time, and we know this life is but a flash. It is but like grass that grows and withers. And 80 years, my mother just turned 83 a few days ago, and it's a flash in the pan. I am 60, and it looked like I was walking down the high school graduation yesterday. Time flies, and it's just a flash in the pan. Now, let me give you another example. How many of you all in here have a really nice car? You know, you just got a really nice car. A lot of us, we got really nice cars. Now, suppose I were to take a quarter, and I take a quarter, and I say, look, I want to flip with you for this quarter. I say, if you win, you get the quarter. But if I win, I get your car. And you would say, wait a minute, Pastor. That does not sound like a fair exchange. If I win, I only get 25 cents. But if you win, you get my nice, nearly new luxury car. What kind of exchange is that? What kind of exchange is it for you to consider and blow these little 80 years in exchange for eternity? It's the same deal as you flipping a coin for a quarter for your nice, luxury car. That's why Jesus said, he said, what profiteth a man to gain the whole world? The whole world. What profiteth a man to gain the whole world? The man who came closest to conquering the world was Alexander the Great, who had conquered all of the known world by the time he was 35 years old. But he died an early death. What profiteth a man to gain the whole world and lose his immortal soul? That's a quarter for a car. And we don't understand that sometimes. And it's because our focus is because we don't look at the end. We're only looking at where we are right now. Number one, you got to truly believe there is an eternity. And see, sometimes that's the disconnect that too often we have in Christianity, because we don't believe it. C.S. Lewis said, It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one. Joseph Stowell says, when we begin to believe the reality of the other side, we start behaving differently on this side. Makes a difference. See, when we truly believe, see, you have to have two things. You have to truly believe there's another side. Then you have to believe that side is a whole lot better. And you can't do this intellectually because there's simply no proof. As a scientist, there's absolutely no definable, tangible proof that there exists another side. You got to go by the word and you have to go by faith. Now, I've had some experiences. My greatest experience was my brother Darrell when he passed, and God told me to go and stay with the body for 24 hours in the funeral home. I've told you that story before. It's in two sermons, one called The Eulogy of Effie Thomas, the other called 1 Hour and 40 Minutes, and I go through the whole thing. But basically, I'm there and I'm laying hands and praying over my brother, and I hear his voice. And his voice simply said, I don't want to come back. He said, I don't want to come back because it's 100 times better over here. And I go through in the sermon all the stuff I went through, how I verified some stuff. But the bottom line is when I came out of that funeral home, after spending 24 hours with a dead cold body, my soul was more alive than ever. Because I now believed stronger than ever. And see, this kind of stuff, I can't prove it to anybody. You just can't prove it. It's the stuff you go through with God. You can't prove this stuff to folk. And if you don't believe truly in your heart and soul that not only is there another side, there is a better side. But this is the other part of that too. You cannot believe in heaven without believing in. You cannot believe in angels without believing in demons. See, some folk just want to take one side. No, it's both sides. And not only is it both sides, Jesus said most folk are not going to the good side. You know, most folk on this earth don't truly have the real good life. So most folk are not going to the good side. That's why he said, wide is the path that leadeth unto destruction, and many thereof shall enter. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So it's a two-way street, and Jesus is not but two ways. It's life or destruction. It's heaven or hell. Now, the first critical part is you got to actually believe that there is an eternity. Now, there's not a whole lot of definition or description on exactly what heaven is like. I don't think it's just sitting up there with just listening to the choir. You all are excellent choir. You all are phenomenal choir. But to be perfectly honest with you, I'm just being real. I don't want to listen to the choir for eternity. Y'all good. You really are good, but after about an hour or two of choir listening, I'm just being straight. You all are phenomenal, but I'm just being straight with you. After about an hour or two of choir listening, so we don't know what heaven is truly like. All I know is the best description I have is just what my brother said. And all he said, it's 100 times better over here, and I don't want to come back. So the thing is, you've got to first of all believe, is there eternity? And there are three basic beliefs in this, three basic beliefs. They cover all religions. All of this stuff going to boil down into one of three things. Number one, you don't believe in just anything. You just believe once you die, once you shut your eyes, it's just blackness, darkness, nothing. You just obliterated. Everything is right here, and once this die, it's nothing else. And I can't argue with you on that, not logically. If you believe it, you just believe it. There's nothing after you leave this earth, and that's it. That's the first belief. Second belief, in one form or another, is reincarnation, or what's called the transmigration of souls. The majority of religions on the earth believe in reincarnation, which means you're going to come back here. You keep coming back over and over until your soul gets purified. Then you go on into nirvana. It's a long theory of the theory of reincarnation, but bottom line, that's the second one. Some of the original Jewish sects believe that. So reincarnation is the second one. And the third one is that once you die from here, you're going to eventually end up in heaven or hell, one of the two. Now, I can't prove any of those three. I absolutely cannot prove any of those three on a scientific basis. But I can tell you this. If the first one is so, and just from a scientific validity, you got to give it the possibility. Maybe there's nothing else. After you leave here, it's just nothing else. But it just doesn't go along with my experience. I've had too many communications with God that have just been absolutely accurate, have been astounding. I know it's something else outside of me. But for people who haven't had that experience, you can't convince them. So it's hard to convince folk who don't believe and who don't want to believe, because when you truly believe, you got to make some changes. So it's hard to convince anybody who truly doesn't want to believe and who does not believe. If it's number two, if reincarnation is the case, you still need to do right. Because you're coming back and you're going to pay or get rewarded for everything you've done. And then you do it over, what they're talking about, 1,000 lifetimes. So you mess up some big time, kill 1,000,000 folk. You got to spend 1,000 lifetimes trying to straighten that stuff out. So even if you do believe in reincarnation, still you need to do right. I believe in heaven that there is a place that is joyous beyond anything that we can imagine. And that we will be there for an eternity. But that eternity depends upon what I do in this life. Now, regardless of which one you believe, number one, number two, or number three, if you believe in number one, then, well, I got some more preaching. That's another sermon. But for number two or number three, you need to think of the end from the beginning. And you need to think of what am I doing right now that's going to influence where I am going to spend the amount of time my mind cannot even begin to comprehend. Randy Alcorn in his book on heaven says, if my wedding date is on the calendar and I'm thinking of the person I'm going to marry, I shouldn't be an easy target for seduction. If I'm thinking of the person I'm going to marry, and my wedding date is on the calendar, I shouldn't be an easy target for seduction. There was once a young fellow on the train. He's a little boy. And he was on the train taking a long cross-country trip. And this was before trains had air conditioning. So it was hot. And they were going through kind of the Dust Bowl area. And everybody on the train was just grumping and grouchy. And this little boy just kept a smile on his face the whole while. And they would travel for hour after hour after hour with dust blowing in the window and all this heat and folk just sweating and stinking and all this on the train. This little boy just is smiling. So finally, one lady in the back looked at him. She kept looking at him. He had a different countenance on him than everybody else. And she just walked up. She said, "Little boy, I just noticed. I just want to know, are you tired?" He said, "Oh, yes. Yes, I'm tired." She says, "Are you hot?" He said, "Oh, yes. Yes, I'm hot." And she said, "But I noticed you have a smile on your face that no one else has. Everybody is complaining and grumpy and grouchy. Why are you smiling and so happy?" And he looked up at her with his big, broad smile. And he simply said, "Because my daddy is waiting on me at the end." See, when you go through life, even though it's hot, it's bumpy, you got some grouchy folk, it's dusty, you got some issues you're dealing with, it's dirty. Even though you're going through, when you understand your daddy is waiting on you at the end, it changes everything. So I have an absolute unshakable belief. And I believe I truly have a real good shot of living to 116 years old, which is a very long time by man's standard. But I still understand in the scope of eternity, that's a snap of your finger. That's no length at all. It'll be here before I know it. That's not what I am focusing on. I am focusing not on the what's right now, not on the next 56 years. I am focusing on the eternity. I'm focusing on the car, not the quarter. This life is the quarter, and some of us will give up the quarter and lose the car. We'll give up and just focus on this little thing, these few little 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years here, and end up in hell. And we think that, well, I'm just going to enjoy myself now. I'm just going to live my life to the fullest now. First of all, that's an illusion. It always has been. And we think, especially men, we think we can just get all the joy in the world. Men think they can get all the joy in the world by women, by money, by cars, and by getting high. And you go check any of them after they've been it for a few months. Oh, yeah, it's got a thrill to it. But after a few months, the thrill, you know what B.B. King said? It's gone. That's why you see so many of the celebrities got all this stuff. And they got to take drugs. They're not happy. They're depressed. You can't understand. Because it's an illusion. And even if you try to just have a whole lot of fun, it doesn't last.
and you have to stay on the drug trying just to stay halfway normal. It doesn't last. And that's the thing I have realized about this life and about the illusion of materialism and all of the stuff that you think that once you get it, you're going to be just as happy as you can be. You will for a season. The season just doesn't last. And if you don't have this joy on the inside, that's attached to the eternal Father, if you don't have that on the inside, all this stuff is not going to matter. And people do not understand that. And they struggle and they sweat to get all of this stuff, and they give up all of the important things in life for something that fades. See, you're going to get to a point where your cars are just not going to matter. Now, we've got Brother Cody. He's got one of those big GT Mustangs. You go crank that thing up. It's got about 600 horsepower under the hood. It's powerful. It's powerful. And I've driven it. I mean, just shifting through the gears on that thing. It's like driving a dream. But once you get to a certain age, you don't need 600 horses under the hood. You understand what I mean? You just don't need 600 horses under the hood. There's a point where it just doesn't make that much difference. Once you get to a certain point, you got to make sure you got something smooth so it don't snap your back out of whack. It just makes a difference. You got to make sure you got something high so you can get in and out of it easy. Your focus changes, and that's going to be a point even with all them women. You get to a certain point where Viagra going to stop working, where Levitra going to leave you, and Cialis going to cease. So you're going to get to a point where all you can do is just look at it and think about on the days that you see all of that stuff fades and goes away. And we don't understand this thing. And even oftentimes when people have it, even in the midst of it, after a season, you lose your joy from it. Because in its essence, it's hollow. So that's why Solomon, he got to the end of his days. He said, all this stuff is nothing but vanity. And the quicker we understand that, the quicker we can attach to eternity, the quicker we can see the end from the beginning, the closer we'll be to God. And I believe that if we can change our thought pattern, and we can, instead of just trying to party all of the time, and if you can imagine if somebody takes you to a party and you get to the party, and you know, some parties are good and some are not so hot. So you get to this party and it's... So your friend, after you've been there about an hour, he said, look, come on, let's go. I'm getting ready to take you home. And you said, but I don't want to leave the party. It's not that good, but I still don't want to leave the party. He said, come on, it's time to go home. So your friend takes you home. You open up the door and go inside. The minute you flip on the light, there you see all your friends. And you see this huge party just for you. That's the way heaven is. See, we're in one party right now, and we think this is the party. God got a party just for you. We think this is the good time. It's not. This is not, and see, my brother Darrell, he had just the best of some of everything. But he said, it's 100 times better. That's why Jesus told the disciples, those of you who've given up this and given up that, he said, you'll get it back 100-fold in this world and the world to come. And I often wonder, Lord, how do you get it back in this world? See, it's some things that are in the spirit that you cannot measure that's attached to eternity. We need to start looking at the chef in the end. And we need to start thinking about time frames that we can't even fathom. About places that we have no imagination of. We simply have to trust God and trust Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I believe that I live in a mansion now. But I believe the mansion that's reserved for me in heaven is way beyond anything. And see, the older I get, the less the mansion matters. I'm just as happy now in a small hotel room as I am in the Ritz-Carlton. Matter of fact, I prefer the smaller hotel room. Stuff changes. My clothes, I want stuff just comfortable and casual. I don't care about having no brand name. The closer you get to God, the less all this stuff will matter, and you're actually happier. There's nobody walking around with a pair of $300 jeans and $1,800 shoes that's any more comfortable than I am. Matter of fact, I don't think they're nearly as happy or nearly as comfortable as I am. So when you get to a certain point, people, and you start latching on to the end from the beginning, it changes. And see, this is the part that people miss. It makes your right now better. When you latch on to eternity, I'm not living to after I die. I'm happier than 99.9% of folk right now. I'm not waiting till I die for some pie in the sky. I got my slice now, but I got a whole bakery in the sky, but I'm enjoying my slice now. So when you understand the true power of eternity, and when you can latch on to the promises of God, but people, we got to do some stuff. I want you to go listen to a sermon that I preached really been almost 15 years ago. It's called Workbook. It's sermon number 5171, and explains it. It's called Workbook. There's some work we need to do to put our treasure where it needs to be. Workbook. You need to go listen to that sermon, because I want to see all of you in heaven. And you can't judge who's going to be there. That's why Jesus told the priest this. He says some of the publicans and prostitutes will be there before you. He was talking to the priest when he said that. He was talking to the preachers. He says some of the publicans. You all know what publicans are. They're tax collectors and politicians. Now, you all know the stuff we got going on in politics right now. Jesus basically, look, some of these candidates, some of these politicians and the whores are going to be there for you. And he was talking to the preachers. You can't judge who's going to be there. And don't try to judge who's going to be there. You don't need to worry about all that. You do not need to worry about who else is going to be there except trying to get your children there. When my brother passed, my mother said, I didn't have but one job with my children. My job with my children was to get my children to God. And my job is done. But you can't get your children to God and you not going to God. Because as a general principle, children follow what the parents do. And it don't necessarily mean that. It's just probability. The probability is if the parents gonna bust hell wide open, the greater probability is they drag the children in that same pattern. So your job, your work, we have to think beyond this life, beyond right now. Because I do believe in the pie in the sky. I absolutely do. And I think I just got pies and cakes. See, right now I told you don't bring me any pies and cakes. Because it's going to destroy this body. This body is headed for death no matter what I do. All I can do is slow the rate of death. It's headed for death. But when I get up there, you know, folk be talking about will they have fried chicken in heaven? I don't know about all that. I don't know whether they'll have fried chicken in heaven. But I do believe there will be joy and pleasure, and it's 100 times better over there. I want to go up yonder. So when that time comes in another 56 years when Pastor Nathaniel leaves this body, don't cry for me. And I'll tell you right now, if I left today, don't cry for me. I've enjoyed this life to the fullest, and I fully believe I have a treasure waiting on me on the other side. I thank all of you for being here. Come go with me to the real place. And I'm not talking about, you know, the story goes, you know, the man preacher was preaching about how many folk want to go to heaven? Come on down, come on down. And one man sitting in the back, he just wouldn't move. He kept telling all about who want to go to heaven, come here, wouldn't move. So after service, the preacher went and said, man, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I don't want to go right now. So I know you don't want to go right now. I'm not planning on going right now or any time in the human definition of soon. But the human definition of soon and the divine definition of soon are two different things. So again, I thank all of you. I appreciate you. I love you. Come go with me to another whole level. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all of your people, all of your children who are here. Father, I pray your blessing over them. And even as they write in those areas of children and relationships, health, eternity, and finance. And Father, as they write the one thing that is specific that they will do, that as you have spoken, you'll step in and you'll help them. You'll make come to pass what they have ordained and what they seek to do. And Father, even for those who want to make no changes, but they write down what they have already done and what they are doing and what they will continue to do, you will magnify and bless that thing. Father, we thank you for being our Father, and help us to be your children even in a better and a greater way. And let us prepare now for what you have in the end that is beyond what we can even imagine. In thy Son Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part 3 of the series titled, The Chef in the End, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 5729. That's 5729. To listen to over 1,000 free messages, or to send this message number 5729 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the word.
From Brothers of the Word.